United States.
Diploma politics. Degrees of separation. Realigned Democrats and Republicans are testing new coalitions.
Depending on where exactly you find yourself, Western Pennsylvania can feel Appalachian, Midwestern, booming or downtrodden. No matter where, however, this part of the state feels like the center of the American political universe. Since she became the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Kamala Harris has visited Western Pennsylvania 6 times, more often than Philadelphia, on the other side of the state. She made her 7th trip on October 14th to the small city of Erie, where Donald Trump also held a rally recently. Democratic grandees flit through Pittsburgh regularly. It is where Ms. Harris chose to unveil the details of her economic agenda, and where Barack Obama delivered encouragement and mild chastisement on October the 10th. "Do not just sit back and hope for the best," he admonished. "Get off your couch and vote." That Western Pennsylvania has become such contested ground tells you a lot about how America's 2 major parties have changed. Voters are increasingly divided by their educational degrees. The traditional working class base of the Democratic Party has eroded and been replaced by the college educated. This trend is not uniquely American. It is visible among parties of the left across Europe. But its impact on America is strong. Educational polarization has remade the map of battleground states and districts and triggered ideological changes in both parties. It has transformed not just where candidates campaign, but what they say. It used to be that high educational attainment was a reliable predictor of Republican voting. George Babbitt, the eponymous main character of Sinclair Lewis's 1922 satire of bourgeois conformity, is a college-educated real estate broker for whom the senators who control the Republican Party decided in little smoky rooms in Washington what he should think about disarmament, tariff, and Germany. In later decades, data show the same. From 1952 to 2000, a majority of white voters with college degrees self-identified as Republicans. From 2012, this affiliation began to weaken. It loosened even more once Mr. Trump became the Republican nominee in 2016. By 2020, the white college-educated called themselves Democrats by a 2-to-1 margin. And there were many more graduates. Their share of the electorate rose from 8% in 1952 to 40% in 2020. Had the party held on to the rest of its support, this would have ensured an enduring majority. Yet, at the same time, Democrats lost support among whites without college degrees, who now favor Republicans by their own margin of 2-to-1. Polarization along educational lines also means polarization by geography, because Americans increasingly sort themselves based on their educational credentials, with cities at the center of the knowledge economy. That is why in 2020 Mr. Trump won 2,588 of America's 3,144 counties and still lost the popular vote by a wide margin. Educational polarization also stoked conflict over the proper source of American leadership and the proper direction of American culture, write Matt Grossman and David Hopkins, 2 political scientists, in their incisive new book, Polarized by Degrees. This transformation, they observe, has led the Democrats to adopt a reputation for cultural progressivism, intellectual erudition, and demographic diversity, while traditional venues for conservative discourse have lost influence to more populist and anti-intellectual platforms. One goal of the Harris campaign is to change that. Of its 50 offices in Pennsylvania, 16 are in counties that Mr. Trump won by double digits in 2020. The challenge is that if you look at the work that people are doing, who are living paycheck to paycheck outside of the big cities, it is often not the type of work that the Democratic Party is associating itself with, says Connor Lamb, a former Democratic congressman based just outside Pittsburgh. The fight over Mr. Lamb's old district is a microcosm of the test Democrats face. It requires an answer for anger about deindustrialization. We suffered through terrible trade deals that really hurt places like Western Pennsylvania, pushed by Wall Street and a corporate management ideology that just chased the cheapest and weakest labor and environmental rules, says Chris DeLuzio, the one-term Democratic incumbent. His Republican challenger, Rob McCurry, a state representative, agrees that outsourcing of manufacturing jobs, especially steel, was directly tied to policy choices that elected leaders have made over the years. But their prescriptions differ immensely. The left, in Mr. McCurry's view, offers well-intentioned but really wrong-headed government intervention, big New Deal-style policies, the result of a disconnect related to this kind of highly educated, elitist mindset. In 2020, Democrats promoted ideas exciting to the college-educated, such as defeating systemic racism. Ms. Harris was no exception. The National Democratic Party has realized that promoting anti-racism is a losing strategy. This time, Ms. Harris is pitching herself as a pro-fracking, gun-owning, common-sense Democrat who likes unions and is wary of corporations. Her economic agenda is concerned with protecting American jobs through industrial policy and funneling more tax credits to workers. Mr. Trump, too, has moved the Republican Party to the left on economic issues, courting unions and promising tax cuts on tips, social security benefits, even car loan payments. Whether it is working is hard to tell. The voters both candidates are jostling over are not just unfriendly to the country's college-educated elites. They are reluctant to answer pollsters, too.